All right, ready to dive in. Today, we're looking at Pope Francis.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I found this article. It's from Christian Culture News
Okay.
from February 26th, 2025. And it really takes a look at, his health, his impact on the church,
I see.
and kind of what all this means for the papacy, what it means going forward.
Yeah, it's a papacy that's really captured like global attention, hasn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't even like where do we even begin?
Right.
A Jesuit pope, the first from the Americas. These are really unprecedented developments in the Catholic Church. And the article really highlights how monumental that is. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, it's certainly a significant, kind of departure from tradition,
Yeah.
but I think the impact goes beyond just those labels.
Right.
Pope Francis's Jesuit upbringing, I think, is key to understanding his approach. The emphasis on humility, on service, and social justice, that are so ingrained in Jesuit tradition,
Yeah.
are really evident in how he leads.
It's almost like he's challenging the traditional image of the papacy, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely.
The article even uses the phrase redefining the image of the Catholic Church.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think a big part of that redefinition lies in his focus on issues
Okay.
that haven't always been front and center,
Yeah.
for the church. Things like climate change, economic inequality, and outreach to other faiths.
Yeah, he even wrote that encyclical Laudato Si, which the article mentions.
Yeah.
Can you explain what exactly an encyclical is?
Sure, yeah. It's basically a papal letter
Okay.
that's sent to all the bishops of the Catholic Church, sometimes even beyond that to a wider audience.
Okay.
But they're considered authoritative teachings on matters of faith and morals.
Gotcha.
So Laudato Si, which means praise be to you, was groundbreaking because it really focused on environmental stewardship. So, calling for action on climate change
Okay.
and urging a more sustainable approach to development.
Okay.
It really sparked, I think, a global conversation about the church's role in addressing environmental issues.
It's interesting how he's brought these very like real world issues into the church's dialogue. Now, the article also spends a considerable amount of time talking about the Pope's health, particularly his intestinal surgery back in 2021, and it even kind of hints at some ongoing challenges. So, how much do you think the Pope's personal health is really a matter of public interest?
Well, it's a delicate balance for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, on one hand, you have the, kind of the understandable concern for the well-being
Right.
of a prominent religious leader, right?
Yeah.
But then there's also the weight of the papacy itself. I mean, the Pope's health directly impacts his ability to lead, to travel, to carry out, the very demanding duties of his office.
Right.
And that naturally, leads to speculation about what happens
Yeah.
if he's unable to continue.
The article points out that the Vatican's been quite cautious in their communication regarding the Pope's health. Do you think that's the right approach?
It's tricky. I mean, I think they need to find that balance between transparency, right? And maintaining, the dignity and the privacy of the office. Because, I mean, releasing too much information could lead to, unnecessary anxiety and speculation. But being too secretive could breed distrust.
It reminds me of how past popes have dealt with these health issues.
Yeah.
The article touches on a couple interesting historical examples.
Right.
For example, Pope Pius IX back in 1870, his illness during a time of like intense political upheaval really had a significant impact
That's right, yeah.
on church decisions.
Yeah.
And then you have Pope Leo III
Yeah.
and his chronic respiratory problems.
Mm-hmm.
And the article mentions how that really sparked concerns about leadership continuity,
Yeah.
even back then.
Yeah.
So, do you think we can learn anything from these like historical parallels?
I do, yeah. I think looking back at how these situations played out can provide valuable context for understanding the complexities of papal health and succession. And it really highlights the fragility of leadership, even in an institution as enduring as the Catholic Church.
It really makes you wonder, how much does Pope Francis's vision for the future of the papacy, which the article calls progressive, factor into this whole equation?
Yeah.
What does that term even mean in the context of the church?
Well, you know, Pope Francis seems to be pushing for a more decentralized kind of participatory model of church governance.
Okay.
He wants to empower local bishops to make decisions that are relevant to their communities.
Gotcha.
And he's repeatedly emphasized the importance of pastoral care, you know, over dogmatic rigidity.
He's been quite open to dialogue on issues that many of his predecessors avoided.
Yeah, that's right.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think that's true.
You know, the article mentions his willingness to engage on topics like sexuality, divorce, the role of women in the church.
Yeah, and that openness has definitely ruffled some feathers, particularly among more conservative factions within the church.
Yeah,
you know, his critics argue that he's, you know, kind of straying too far from traditional Catholic teaching.
Right.
While his supporters, you know, praise his willingness to address these issues with compassion and understanding.
Yeah.
So that really raises the question, how might these potentially controversial viewpoints, how might they influence the process of choosing the next pope?
Yeah, it's a good question.
The article briefly mentions the College of Cardinals and the Conclave, but could you elaborate on how that all works for those who might not be familiar?
Yeah, so the College of Cardinals is essentially a group of senior bishops from around the world.
Okay.
Who are appointed by the Pope.
Okay.
They act as his advisors.
Okay.
But most importantly, they are the ones responsible for electing a new Pope.
Okay.
When the current one dies or resigns.
Gotcha.
And this election process takes place in a conclave.
Okay.
Which is a secret gathering held in the Vatican.
So given Pope Francis's, you know, this kind of progressive stance and his declining health, how do you think his papacy might impact the selection of the next pope?
That's a question that has, you know, many, many church observers kind of on the edge of their seats.
Yeah.
You know, will his emphasis on social justice, his willingness to challenge, you know, traditional views, his focus on pastoral care.
Right. Yeah.
Will these become defining characteristics for future popes?
Yeah.
Or will the pendulum swing back towards a more conservative approach?
And how much do you think, like, global perceptions of Pope Francis will factor into all of this?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly, you know, his global popularity, especially in Latin America, could certainly influence the cardinal's thinking.
Yeah.
But there's also, you know, strong opposition to his views in some quarters.
Right.
You know, particularly within certain segments of the church in Western nations.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a fascinating dynamic.
Yeah, it really is.
This interplay between, you know, tradition and reform and global perceptions.
It really is. It makes you wonder how technology might play a role in all this, too.
Right.
The article mentions Pope Francis's embrace of social media.
Yeah, that's
particularly Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes, he's really utilized platforms like Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
To connect directly with, you know, millions of people.
Yeah.
Basically bypassing, you know, traditional media channels.
Right.
And engaging in a way that no pope has ever done before.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a powerful tool.
Yeah.
For shaping public opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And reaching, you know, a global audience.
Makes you wonder how future popes might utilize technology.
Yeah.
Do you think this could open up, you know, new avenues for outreach and community building, as the article suggests?
Yeah, it's definitely a question worth exploring. I mean, technology is constantly evolving. And the next generation of popes will undoubtedly face new opportunities and challenges in navigating, you know, this digital landscape.
Right.
It's hard to predict exactly how it will play out.
Right.
But it's safe to say that technology will continue to shape the papacy in really profound ways.
It sounds like we're just scratching the surface here. There's so much more to unpack,
right,
when it comes to Pope Francis, his legacy, and really the future of the Catholic Church.
Yeah,
so
absolutely. Yeah, it really is it's a complex and evolving landscape, that's for sure.
It really is.
You know, it's interesting to consider, like, whether this increased digital presence could actually make the papacy more accessible to younger generations.
That's a great point. Yeah, I mean, it could potentially make the church feel less, like, hierarchical and more relatable, you know? But then, I mean, on the other hand, you know, you could also say, well, does it trivialize the office of the Pope a little bit? So
it's a double-edged sword for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's still too early to say what the long-term impact will be.
Yeah.
But it's clear that Pope Francis isn't afraid to kind of experiment, you know, with new forms of communication.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right.
And that in itself is really a sign of his willingness to adapt to the changing times.
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
Speaking of adapting to change, let's circle back to the question of Pope Francis's health.
Okay.
We talked about, you know, the Vatican's cautious communication strategy, but the article also mentions how his health has directly impacted his ability to travel and carry out, you know, his duties.
Yeah.
So how do you think this, like, plays into the larger narrative of his papacy?
Well, I think it's undeniable that his physical limitations have become, you know, increasingly apparent.
Right.
In recent years, he's had to curtail his travel schedule, delegate certain responsibilities,
right,
and even make adjustments to, you know, some traditional papal ceremonies.
Right. So do you think that these limitations have, in a way, kind of shaped how he's chosen to lead?
It's an interesting question. I think it's possible.
Yeah.
You know, his emphasis on decentralization, for example,
right,
could be seen as a way of ensuring the church's you know, continued functioning, even if the Pope himself is less able to be, you know, kind of physically present.
It's almost like he's laying the groundwork for a more kind of collaborative, less centralized church, which ties into his vision for a more kind of progressive, inclusive institution.
That's a very insightful observation, I think.
Yeah.
You know, by empowering local bishops.
Right. And emphasizing the importance of listening to the needs of individual communities.
Mm-hmm.
He's really creating a model of leadership.
Right.
That's less reliant on the physical presence of the Pope.
It's a fascinating shift in perspective.
Yeah, I think so.
Now going back to the article,
okay,
it emphasizes the varied global response to Pope Francis's papacy.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think his message resonates so strongly in some parts of the world while facing resistance in others?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, kind of cultural and sociopolitical context.
Sure.
You know, in Latin America, for instance, where poverty and inequality are, you know, so widespread.
Right.
His emphasis on social justice.
Yeah.
And his critique of, you know, kind of unbridled capitalism.
Right.
Have really struck a chord.
Right. The article even mentions how he's been hailed as, like, a champion of the poor.
That's right. In those regions.
Exactly.
But then in some Western nations where the church is often seen as more aligned with traditional conservative values, you know, his kind of progressive stance on issues like LGBTQ+ rights and the role of women, you know, has generated quite a bit of pushback.
Yeah. I mean, it's not just about, you know, kind of geographical differences. It's also about these internal divisions within the church itself.
Right.
You know, his papacy has really exposed, you know, kind of fault lines within the church.
Yeah.
Highlighting this tension between those who embrace, you know, his call for reform and those who see it as a threat to traditional Catholic teachings.
It makes you wonder how this internal struggle will play out in the long run, you know? Could it potentially lead to a more fragmented church?
Right.
Or could it ultimately result in a more, you know, unified, albeit, like, transformed institution?
Those are really, I think, the million-dollar question. I mean,
yeah.
It's too early to say with certainty right. how this will all unfold.
Right.
But one thing is clear.
Yeah.
Pope Francis has shaken things up.
Yeah.
You know, he's challenged the status quo,
yeah.
sparked debate, mm-hmm. and really forced the church to confront,
yeah.
you know, some uncomfortable truths.
Yeah. And in doing so, he's left an indelible mark on the papacy.
Yeah, I think that's right.
The article doesn't go into a lot of detail about this.
Okay.
But I'm curious, like, about the actual logistics of choosing the next pope.
Right.
We briefly touched on the College of Cardinals and the conclave.
Hmm.
But could you walk us through that process a little bit more?
Sure. Yeah. So when a pope dies
right.
or resigns,
mm.
the College of Cardinals,
mm-hmm.
which as we mentioned is composed of senior bishops from around the world,
right.
gathers in Rome for the conclave. And it's a highly secretive process.
Okay.
You know? The cardinals are essentially sequestered within the Vatican until they elect a new pope.
So no campaigning, no like public debates,
yeah.
no horse trading for votes.
Not in the traditional sense.
Yeah,
it's all you know, done behind closed doors.
Okay.
You know, with the cardinals praying,
mm-hmm.
deliberating, and ultimately voting
right.
until they reach a two-thirds majority.
It sounds almost like something out of a Dan Brown novel.
Yeah, it has that kind of you know, air of mystery.
Yeah, it really does.
And intrigue to it.
But on a more serious note, how do you think Pope Francis's papacy might influence like the criteria
yeah.
used to select his successor?
That's a question that's on everyone's mind.
Yeah.
You know, will his emphasis on social justice, his willingness to challenge, you know, traditional doctrines,
right.
his pastoral approach,
mm-hmm.
will these qualities become assets
yeah.
or liabilities
right.
in the eyes of the cardinals?
It's like a high stakes game of ecclesiastical chess.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, are they looking for someone who will continue Pope Francis's legacy?
Right.
Or will they seek, you know, a more moderate, perhaps even more traditional figure
yeah.
to kind of steer the church in a different direction?
It's hard to predict with any certainty.
It is.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. There are likely, you know, kind of factions within the College of Cardinals
mm-hmm.
who favor different approaches.
Right. It's interesting to consider how much like influence Pope Francis himself might have on the selection process.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, he can't directly choose.
Right.
You know, his successor, of course,
but
his appointments yeah. to the College of Cardinals over the years
yeah.
could certainly sway, you know, kind of the balance of power.
So in a way, he's been like shaping the future of the church,
mm-hmm.
even as his own papacy is winding down.
Yeah.
It's a subtle but potentially powerful.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
You know, and his teachings, his writings, his pronouncements,
mm-hmm.
you know, these will continue to shape, I think,
right.
the church's direction
yeah.
long after he's gone.
His legacy will definitely be debated for years to come.
Yeah, I think that's right.
But what about the more immediate future?
Right.
You know, we've talked about the uncertainty surrounding his health
yeah.
and the possibility of a papal transition.
Right. And that uncertainty, I think, creates a sense of anticipation,
yeah.
of waiting for the next chapter to unfold.
It really is a pivotal moment
mm-hmm.
in the church's history.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the world is watching to see what happens next.
I think that's right.
Speaking of pivotal moments, we briefly touched on Pope Francis's use of social media earlier.
Okay.
But I think it really deserves like a deeper dive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the article really highlights how he's embraced platforms like Twitter to connect directly with millions of people.
Yeah, I mean it's definitely a departure from the more traditional, you know,
mm-hmm.
kind of top-down approach of previous popes.
Yeah,
you know, by using social media, uh-huh. he's able to kind of bypass, you know, the filters
mm-hmm.
of official church channels,
right?
And speak directly to the people,
yeah.
in their own language,
yeah.
on platforms that they use every day.
Right.
So it really does make the papacy seem,
yeah.
you know, more accessible,
mm-hmm.
more human.
Right. Exactly. And it allows him to weigh in on issues in real time, you know.
That's right. Yeah.
Reacting to events as they unfold and kind of shaping the global conversation.
Yeah. It's a powerful tool.
Do you think future popes will kind of feel obligated to follow suit?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, will social media savvy become like a prerequisite
Right.
for the job? I think it's hard to imagine, a future pope
Yeah.
completely ignoring, the power of social media,
Yeah.
but how they choose to use it, and how effectively, I think will really depend on their own personalities and communication styles.
It's interesting to consider like the potential pitfalls too,
Right.
right? Social media can be a minefield of misinformation and controversy.
That's true. Yeah, and the papacy with its long history and weighty pronouncements
Yeah.
doesn't exactly, lend itself to
Yeah.
the quick takes
Yeah.
and the impulsive pronouncements
Yeah.
that often dominate social media.
It'll be interesting to see how the church kind of navigates this evolving landscape. It seems like Pope Francis has really like thrown open the doors to a new era of communication. And now it's up to his successors to figure out how to use these tools wisely and effectively.
Yeah, I think that's a really fascinating challenge,
Yeah.
and one that will undoubtedly shape the future of the church
Right.
in really profound ways.
It really does feel like we're at this turning point, this kind of cusp of a new era for the Catholic Church. So as we start to wrap up this deep dive into Pope Francis, what are like some of the key takeaways that you think our listeners should keep in mind?
Well, I think, first and foremost,
Yeah.
it's important to recognize just the truly unique nature
Yeah.
of Pope Francis's, his papacy. He's broken barriers. He's challenged, traditional norms,
Right.
and really, really shifted the focus
Yeah.
of the church in a way that few could have anticipated.
His emphasis on social justice, his call for environmental stewardship, his willingness to engage in dialogue on these controversial issues. I mean, these have all really left a lasting impact, haven't they?
Absolutely. And I think it's important to remember, the context
Yeah.
in which all of this is happening. We're talking about, a papacy marked by both, progress and uncertainty.
Yeah.
With Pope Francis's, kind of declining health,
Right.
adding another layer of
Yeah.
complexity to the equation.
It really makes you wonder what kind of like legacy he'll ultimately leave behind, you know?
Right.
Do you think his successor will continue down this path of reform? Or will we see that pendulum swing back towards a more traditional approach?
I think that's the big question, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, Pope Francis has certainly, set a precedent,
Right.
but whether that precedent will
Well,
hold,
right.
remains to be seen. I think, the selection of the next pope
Yeah.
will be, a crucial moment
Right.
for the church, a moment that will determine, I think, the direction of Catholicism for years to come.
And it's a decision that'll be made against, the backdrop of a rapidly changing world. Right, a world grappling with climate change, social unrest, political polarization, and this digital revolution that's transforming how we communicate and interact.
I mean, it's a world that demands, I think a different kind of leadership, a
Yeah.
leadership that's both grounded in tradition, but also, adaptable to change, a
Yeah.
leadership that can speak to the challenges, of our time,
Yeah.
while upholding, the timeless values of faith and compassion.
It's a tall order,
It is.
but maybe Pope Francis, in his own unique way, has shown us that it's possible. He's demonstrated that the church can be, this force for progress, a voice for the marginalized, and a beacon of hope in a world that often seems to be, losing its way.
Yeah, and whether you agree with all of his views or not, you can't deny, I think, the impact he's had. He's sparked conversations.
Yeah.
He's challenged assumptions,
Mm-hmm.
and he's forced us to confront uncomfortable truths.
Yeah.
And in doing so, you know, he's left, I think, an indelible mark on the Catholic Church and on the world.
So as we kind of leave our listener to ponder the future of the papacy,
mm-hmm.
what's one final thought you'd want to leave them with?
You know, I would simply encourage them, you know, to keep an open mind,
yeah,
to engage in thoughtful dialogue,
mm-hmm.
and to recognize that the church, like all human institutions,
mm-hmm.
is constantly evolving, you know.
Right.
The story of Catholicism is far from over.
Mm-hmm.
And the next chapter, I think, promises to be just as fascinating as the one we've just explored.
Beautifully said. And with that, we'll bring this deep dive to a close.
Oh, yeah.
We hope you've enjoyed exploring these complexities of Pope Francis's papacy. And we encourage you to continue the conversation, to delve deeper into the issues we've discussed,
yeah.
and to share your own insights and perspectives. Until next time, keep learning, keep questioning, and keep diving deep.